Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome again. My name is Tyler. I'm the associate pastor here. I'm just so thankful for our band who led us in worship. Some fantastic songs that lead us right into what we will be talking about this morning. We are continuing a series called Summer in the Psalms, where our thinking and our feelings are going to be influenced by the scriptures. We're having a tough time, aren't we, here in 2020? And we thought it was best that we allow the Psalms to be our voice before God in the hurt, in the trial, in the loneliness that many of us are experiencing. And the sermon that, the title of this morning's sermon is Mending a Broken Heart. We'll be looking at Psalm 42. You know, you can rightly divide all people into two categories. People who have gone through great trial, great tragedy, and those who will. Either you have gone through these things or you will go through these things. For some of you, your very earliest memory is something tragic. For others of you, you won't experience anything truly tragic perhaps until the very end of your life. And for even some others, tragedy seems to color in every moment of every day. But for all of us, tragedy will become a reality one way or another. Sadness, brokenness, despair, it's either here or it's coming. It is inevitable for all of us. And I admit, I've lived a little bit of a, you might call it a charmed life. I haven't had too many close friends or family suddenly pass or anything like that that I can really recall. But I do remember the day that my dad called me on the phone to tell me that he had cancer. And at that point, we had every reason to believe that it was malignant. And I remember that day, it was awful. I was straight into the pit of despair so quickly. The sadness and sorrow just swept over me so immediately. This was just a few years back. And praise God that it turned out that the cancer was benign and it's been taken care of. And as far as we know right now, my father is cancer-free. But for many of you listening right now, the news isn't benign cancer. It is malignant. Or the spouse was unfaithful, or the husband and wife is walking out on you, or the son or daughter isn't speaking to you anymore, or the business partner did cut you out of the business that you yourself built. I've heard stories like these, and I'm sure you have stories like them as well. And as we are journeying through the brokenness that will inevitably come, our emotions just go haywire. We just can't even get a hold of ourselves, really. We just feel such despair. We feel so low. We feel distant and lost. And in those times, we need the Psalms to be our voice before God. Perhaps we don't know what to say. Perhaps we don't know what to feel or what to think. But Psalm 42 is going to show us at least a starting point as we ask God to start a healing process in our lives. Over the many years that I've been preaching, I've often said this thing, and it's that the pursuit of God's glory and my good is one and the same pursuit. If you want to live for your ultimate good, pursue God's glory. And as you pursue His glory, you will be pursuing, in fact, your own eternal, lasting good. And I believe the same thing is true of spiritual healing. Do you want to experience spiritual healing, even little by little? Seek God's face. And as we seek His face, we will experience spiritual healing. I believe Scripture teaches this through and through. And Psalm 42 is going to get us to start thinking in that way. What can we do when we are in the midst of tragedy, of sorrow, when we don't know what to do? Let's look at Psalm 42 and see what the Scriptures have for us this morning. I'm going to read the entire psalm all the way through, and then we're going to go through it and see how the psalmist reacts to deep sorrow in his life. Let me read this. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. What we are reading in Psalm 42 is someone who is going through, well, how can I put it, a deep spiritual depression. We see in verse 3 that the person is crying day in, day out. Their diet has been their own tears. And the psalm doesn't tell us why the psalmist is experiencing this. We don't really know. And I think that is exactly by design. You see, if we did know why this person was feeling this way, we might think that Psalm 42 doesn't apply to us, doesn't speak for us. But that's the brilliance of the psalms. All of us, at one point or another, will experience what this psalmist is going through, and we will need a voice in those times. And what the psalmist is experiencing is distance, lostness. God feels far away. And he feels so far away, in fact, that even his peers are noticing. They're pointing to him and saying, where's your God now? You believe in God, and this terrible thing has happened to you. Where's your God? The person feels distant from God, distant from other people, even perhaps distant from himself. He feels lost and in despair. Now, the close of this psalm does not say that the psalmist suddenly gets better. The close of this psalm does not come out and say that, well, now that I've gone through this step-by-step process from Psalm 42, now I'm joyous, now I'm all better. It doesn't say that. No, this psalm will not outline for us a step one, step two, step three, and we're healed of all spiritual brokenness in our lives. It doesn't say that. Our hurt, it's too deep for that. Life is too complicated for that. You are too complicated for that. It doesn't promise immediate and sudden healing, but it does give us a starting point for processing these difficult emotions in a way that honors God and will bring us closer to His healing presence. What we're going to see in Psalm 42 is that spiritual healing has everything to do with your relationship with God. And so as we are going through tragedy, as we are going through sorrow in our lives, let's let Psalm 42 give us some guidance as to how we can respond and invite God's presence into our sorrow. We're going to see three things that this psalmist does, and we can use these as our voice as we travel through tremendous sorrow that we might be going through right now. Here's the first thing that we're going to see the psalmist does and that we need to do through tragedy, and it's this. We need to share our hearts with God. Share your heart with God. Now, for many of us, this is a gut reaction. We don't need to be told to do this. And yet, the scriptures will legitimize what we usually do when tragedy hits. And the psalmist here is going to cry out to God from his heart and ask why to God from his heart. Take a look at what it says in verses 1 to 3. It says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? The psalmist here is crying out. The psalmist here is crying out to God and saying, God, what is going on? My tears have been my food day and night, and I pant for you. We need to shed tears. We need to cry in our sorrow. I know none of us need the Bible to tell us to cry, but we might need the Bible to tell us that it is legitimate to cry. It is good to cry. In fact, it is a gift from God to cry. Crying begins the process of healing. We need to cry. And crying is expressing something that is foundationally very true. Crying expresses this truth that we do live in a broken world. There is brokenness. There is hurt. There is injustice. And it's happening to me. When we cry out for the injustice or the sorrow or the brokenness that's happening in this world, what we are really doing is crying out for heaven. What we're really doing is crying out for God. When we're crying, we're saying, this world is broken. I need you, God. I need you to fix it. I want heaven. And what I'm feeling right now is a lot closer to hell. Now, I want to remind you that actually crying is a righteous response to brokenness. How do I know that? The Gospel of John has this wonderful verse. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. It's two words long, and it reads like this. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. When Jesus discovered that his friend Lazarus was dead, he cried. He wept. There's brokenness in this world. And though Jesus came to fix the brokenness, he was experiencing the brokenness himself. And he cried. He wept. And so I know that crying is a righteous response to injustice. We need to cry. Have you ever heard that expression, a good cry? We don't need to bottle it in. God can take our tears. But we can be even bolder in the presence of God. Not only can we cry before God, we can ask why to God. Look at these next two verses, verses 9 and 10. It says this. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? He says to God himself, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? He cries out to God and asks, why? Why is it like this? Why am I so broken? Why did this situation occur? Why? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've believed in him, that he died for your sins and that he rose again, there's this wonderful truth that comes alongside that. We are adopted into the family of God. God is our heavenly Father. And like a child to his father, we can run up to him, have him embrace us, pound on his chest, and ask, why? Why is it like this? Why is it so broken? That's the privilege we have with our heavenly Father. We can ask why and appeal to him for an answer. I know that many of us grow up in church traditions where this is just so taboo to question God. And does this verse give us permission to go into God's presence with impunity in prayer and say anything we want? Does this verse give us permission to distrust God, disbelieve God? No, it doesn't. But it does give us permission. I see it right in the Bible. To go to God and ask, why? Why this brokenness? God can take our cries. God can take our whys. And in fact, there will be something deficient about our spiritual healing if we do not share our hearts with God through our tears and through even our questions. We need to share our hearts with God, cry out to him, even ask why to him. Now, this might come as a gut reaction to you, sharing your heart with God. You might not need anyone to tell you that. But this next thing, it may not come as naturally. First, we share our hearts with God, and now we need to remind our hearts of God. And as we are traveling through brokenness and sorrow, you need to remind your heart of God. At a certain point, as we are traveling through sorrow and tragedy and brokenness, at the beginning, you know, we're just ready to crash at any moment. But eventually we get to the point, perhaps, as God has made us, for some it's sooner, for some it's later, we get to the point where we can start stringing thoughts together. And at this point, it will be good for us, as this psalmist does, to remind our hearts what we believe is true, although we can't feel it at the time. In fact, we especially need to remind our hearts what is true about God when we can't feel that it's true. It may not feel that it's true. We may not feel like it's true. It may not even feel good to recount these truths, but we need to do it. We need to do it to remind our hearts what we are committed to. These are the truths that the psalmist reminds himself of as he goes through tragedy. First, he reminds himself of the presence of God in the community of faith. Take a look. Verse 4, it says this. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. So as he's going through despair, he pours out his soul, and this is what he remembers. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. The psalmist here remembers, recalls, those times when he went to the capital city, Jerusalem, when he went to the temple and he brought his sacrifice to the temple in order to give praise alongside the many other believers in God. He remembers those times when he was in the very presence of God, singing out joyous praise. In those times of sorrow, he brings to mind those times that he was sure he was in the presence of God. And in the New Testament era, we don't need to go to a place to experience the presence of God, but there is something so special and so unique about God's people coming together. For the New Testament church, we come together to sing songs of praise, to encourage one another, to read scripture together, to simply look at each other and smile and give each other a helping hand and a warm hello. Perhaps we eat together or spend time with one another. But overall, as we spend time together in the same room, we experience together God's wonderful presence in worship. And as we go through these difficult times, we need to remember those times when we were sure we were in the presence of God. Now, for all of us, we love these times. Perhaps those times for you is when, you know, you first came to Christ. Or perhaps that time for you is when you were baptized, or when you took your first communion, or when your friend was baptized, or your daughter or son was baptized. Or perhaps it was that time that song was preached, or that song was sung, or that time that verse was preached. I'm not sure what it is for you, but we need to remember those times when we are sure that we were in the presence of God, especially when we do not feel like he is close. And that is the next thing that the psalmist will tell to us, that he reminds himself of the truth of God's presence. Take a look at verse 6 and 7. It says this, "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." He says, it's remarkable. He says, my soul is downcast. He feels so low. He feels like God is so far away. And then he has the presence of mind to say, therefore, I will remember you. He knows that God feels far away. He feels that he's far away. And so he knows he needs to remind himself of God's closeness. He remembers those times that God was so near. And he knows he is near. And then he illustrates that with this, little metaphor. He says, from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He says he's writing this or singing this from this far-off place. And geographically speaking, you know, Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel, and it's in the center of this land of Israel. And on the outskirts was the Mount Mizar in the land of Jordan, in the heights of Hermon. So basically, what the psalmist is saying is, God feels a world away. God's presence is in Jerusalem. I'm way over here in Mount Mizar. He feels a world away. I feel so distant from God. But he says, therefore, I will remember you. Because he feels so distant, I need to recall to my heart, recall to my mind, that he is, in fact, close to me. And that's what he says in the next part. He says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And metaphorically speaking, the psalmist is saying, all that is happening to me right now is still under your sovereign care, Lord. You are still God. I know you love me. I know you're here with me. Even though I can't feel it right now, even though I can't understand it right now, I will remind myself this truth, this fact, that you are with me and you will never forsake me. God is with us. Even when we feel like we are far away on Mount Mizar, he is with us. And we need some tools to remind ourselves that God is with us. And one of the most powerful is singing. Take a look at what the psalmist says in verse 8. He says, "By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Day and night he's crying, but day and night he's also singing. And singing is so powerful because singing is a way of reciting truths that connect our mind with our hearts. Singing is a way of connecting what we know to be true and what we feel to be true. That's what we do when we sing. We're connecting these truths with our emotions. That's why singing is so powerful. I could say right now this wonderful truth that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins so that I can be with God forever. That's true, and I love that truth. But there's a difference between saying that and knowing that and feeling that and experiencing that in a song like, for instance, In Christ Alone. What are the songs that are on your mind when you will go into times of sadness, of sorrow, of brokenness? What songs do you have on the tip of your tongue that will jumpstart your heart to remind you that God is near even when he feels so far away? When God feels far away, we need to remind ourselves through those times that we were together in God's presence as a people. And by the way, I just want to insert something here. Let's not get too used to being apart. Let's not get too used to this. I know a church isn't a building. I know that we are present with each other in a special and different way over this live stream. We are still together. And yet we want to be back together. Worshiping with one another. We want to be back together, experiencing God's presence together. We want to be back together, reading scripture, praying for one another, encouraging, singing, hearing God's word preached. We want that, don't we? Let's not get too used to this. Let's look forward to the day we can be back together, reminding ourselves of the great presence of God. We need to do this through song, through remembering those times we are together as God's people. And we also need to remember it through scripture and through those truths that we have committed to our heart. Because here's the truth. God's presence isn't a feeling for the believer. It's a fact. God's presence is with you whether or not you feel it. Some days you'll feel it. Some days you won't. But God's presence will never leave you, never forsake you. Are you a believer in Christ? God will never leave you whether you feel it today or not. So remind your heart of that fact when you are going through sorrow, sadness, depression. Now, the first thing that we looked at, sharing your heart, that comes almost automatically. The second thing comes a little less naturally, reminding our hearts of God. This third thing that this psalmist does, it comes even less naturally, but it might be the most important thing. Take a look at what he does next. He is going to speak to his heart of God, and we need to speak to our hearts of God as well as we are going through sickness, sadness, and depression, and tragedy. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a look at this in verse 5 and 11. We are being signaled that this is extremely important because it's in the middle of the psalm and also at the end of the psalm, and it says this. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So I want to ask you a question. Who is the psalmist speaking to at this point in the psalm? He's not speaking to God. He's not speaking to his friends. He's not speaking to his enemies. He's not speaking to Israel. He's not speaking to us, the audience. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to himself, to his own soul, to his own heart. He's speaking to his heart of God. You see, at first, you know, our hearts go kind of haywire when tragedy hits. And then later on, we can remind our hearts of God's goodness. But at a certain point, we want to be able to say to our hearts truths. We want to be able to lead our hearts rather than our hearts lead us. The psalmist here is saying, soul, heart, why are you downcast? If everything I just remembered of God is true, if everything I believe about God is true, then why do I not feel that it is true? The psalmist here turns the tables on his heart And instead of being led along solely by what his heart feels, he starts speaking to his heart, starts guiding and leading his heart instead of being simply led by his heart. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Heart, I know that this is tough. Heart, I know how broken this is. Heart, I know how unjust this is. And I know how bad it's been for us. I get it. I know. But put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. He is still good. He is still true. He is still with me. I think it might be time for all of us, in whatever stage you might be at, in your sickness, in your sadness, in your brokenness, it may be time for us to, instead of being led by our hearts, start leading our hearts. Instead of being led along, perhaps overlong, in the miry bog of sadness and despair, and I don't know how long overlong is, I have no idea. But if we just listen to our hearts day in, day out, then how will there ever be an escape from that? We need to speak to our hearts and lead our hearts and remind our hearts of the wonderful truths of God, that we have a future, that God is with us, that he is there, that he is in control, and we can look forward to an eternity with him. We can speak to our hearts these wonderful truths, that God is with us, that he will not abandon us, he will not forsake us, even though I can't feel it right now. Perhaps it is time, instead of simply being led by our hearts, to begin leading our hearts, speaking to our hearts, giving our hearts a pep talk, and saying, heart, put your hope in God, and yet still praise him. If the psalmist of Psalm 42 was with us today, he might summarize the entire psalm in this way. In every way, invite the great physician into your pain. In every way, invite the great healer, God himself, into your pain. We can cry out to him, ask why to him. We can remind ourselves of his great presence. We can remind ourselves of the times that we were sure we were in his presence. We can sing songs of praise to him. We can remind ourselves of what is true in Scripture. And we can even give our own selves a bit of a pep talk and begin leading our hearts towards where God would have us be. This honors God and will also begin the process of spiritual healing in God's presence. You might have someone in your life right now who is going through something really difficult, really tough. And you might be thinking, okay, should I then, now that I've heard this talk, should I explain to that person this three-step process to begin spiritual healing? And again, I want to remind you that this isn't step one, step two, step three healing. It's not like that. This is a process. And I just want to say this. Don't be too quick to try to heal people. Don't be too quick to think that there's something deficient about what they're going through and that they need to get out of there as quickly as possible. Don't be too quick to do that. Because the journey that they're going through right now might be exactly what God has designed for them, such that they will see God's hand at the end of it. Don't try and rush people through grieving and mourning. Don't try to do that. Be there for them. Perhaps invite them to read Psalm 42 with you and meditate on it. Perhaps do that. Be there for them to cry on and share with and remember God with. Be there. But let's not be too eager to get people healed. Let's let God work in people's lives in his timing as people are led. Are you going through suffering? Are you going through pain, brokenness? Well, I know you either have, or you are, or you will. And I want to just invite you to embrace Christ. Here's why. Those who are believers in Jesus Christ have a hope that they can speak to their heart. I don't know what other people do or say. They probably have something that they do or say in these times. But I know that a believer in Christ can speak to their heart and say, heart, God so loved the world, God so loved me that he sent his son to die for my sake. And I can look forward to an eternity with him. The penalty of sin is canceled. And the effects of sin when Jesus returns will be completely gone. The brokenness will be done. The hurt will be eliminated. There will be a future in store where there will be no more tears, no more sadness, and we can be together whole again. We need Christ. We need him to mend our hearts. And we need to speak of him to our hearts. So if you don't know Christ, I invite you. I invite you to experience his healing. And if you do know him and you're going through a desperate and difficult time, speak these truths to your heart, that he is with you, that he is for you, and that you have an eternity in his presence forevermore in store. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we need your healing. We are broken. Lord, help us to cry out to you, to experience the healing that you have in store for us, both in this life, and we await for that great healing in eternity as well. Oh Lord, for all of those listening in on this who are going through deep, deep things that I perhaps have no idea about, I pray, Lord, that you would give such tremendous healing, that they would seek your face and that your presence would be real to them, would manifest itself to them, and that they would begin the wonderful process of healing in your sight. Lord, would your message of healing be spread across this globe such that one day we will all be whole and one again in your presence forevermore. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.